Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm. A podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends at Montana Public Radio, bringing you the latest news of the region. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. Here it is, Thursday, the 18th of December, 2025, 1 week from Christmas. The National Weather Service issued a blizzard warning for northeast Montana through Thursday morning, with snow accumulations of 1 to 3 inches, wind gusts up to 70 miles an hour. The area includes Glendive, Glasgow, Sydney, Plenty Wood, and Wolf Point. The Weather Service warns of slippery road conditions with drifting and blowing snow, which will greatly reduce visibility to near zero at some times. Weather Service advises to travel only in an emergency, and if you must travel, have a winter survival kit with you. If you get stranded, stay with your vehicle. An extreme cold front drove powerful winds into Montana Wednesday, knocking down trees, obstructing roads, and cutting power. Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler has more.
60-mile-an-hour wind gusts hit western Montana first, heavily impacting the Bitterroot, Clark Fork, and Flathead Valleys. The storm then pushed northeast, blowing through Helena, Great Falls, and across the High Line. The severe winds left trees, power lines, and semi-trucks scattered across major roadways. Several school districts released students early. Hamilton Parks and Recreation Director Amy Fox says structural damage in their city was limited, but
there's still a fair amount of trees that came down, mostly on private property. A lot of blue spruce came down. We did lose a few city trees.
Downed trees like those in Hamilton led to widespread power outages. As of Thursday afternoon, Northwestern Energy crews were still working to restore power to tens of thousands. The Flathead Valley Electric Co-op also reported extensive damage and says crews will be working through the night. National Weather Service meteorologist Brian Conlin says the highest western wind speed recorded was 96 miles an hour on Mount Aeneas near Big Fork.
The soils were saturated, and our concern was trees blowing over. And from the reports that we're getting, there have been many, many trees that have gone over.
From Thursday afternoon to Friday afternoon, up to 9 inches of snow could accumulate on Lolo, Lookout, Marias, and Lost Trail passes. The valleys of western Montana will see an intermittent mix of rain and snow. In Missoula, I'm Victoria Traxler.
The upcoming trial for a man accused of killing 4 people in Anaconda has been suspended. Montana Public Radio's Shaley Rager reports the court found Michael Paul Brown unfit to proceed at this time.
Brown's trial had been scheduled for March, pending the evaluation. He's charged with 4 counts of deliberate homicide and 1 count each of attempted arson, theft, and fleeing a peace officer. Dozens of law enforcement agencies were involved in the week-long search for Brown in August. He was arrested for allegedly shooting and killing 4 people in the Owl Bar before fleeing the scene. Brown is an Anaconda local and military veteran. Brown's defense attorneys and Anaconda Deer Lodge County Attorney Morgan Smith made a joint request that he be moved to the state's mental health hospital for further evaluation. They asked the court to determine Brown's fitness for trial based on a psychologist's assessment. District Court Judge Jeffrey DeHood found Brown unfit to proceed, ordered his placement at the state hospital, and set a status hearing for March. Brown will receive treatment, and his condition will be reevaluated at that time. In Helena, I'm Shaley Rager.
Gallatin County officials have appointed a local organizer to an open seat representing Bozeman in the state legislature. Democrat Katie Thunderbird is a legal assistant with the county attorney's office and co-founded Bozeman Tenants United, a union focused on affordable housing. The 25-year-old grew up in Bozeman and is a member of the Oglala Lakota Sioux tribe. She replaces former Democratic Representative Ed Staffman, who stepped down last month. Staffman is an attorney and a rabbi who was elected 3 times to the State House. Thunderbird will carry out the current term during the legislative interim that ends in 2027. She can run to retain the seat in 2026. The Western Heritage Center has a new leader. The Billings Museum's board announced Becky Jeter as its new executive director. Her appointment comes nearly a year after the sudden death of previous director Kevin Kuistra. The center's news release on Wednesday said Jeter has a master's degree in historic preservation from Colorado State University and experience in both preservation and fundraising. Jeter says her vision for the future of the Western Heritage Center focuses on maintaining the popular programs Kevin Kuistra began and maximizing the historic building for more community involvement. Football fans looking for tickets to the Montana-Montana State semifinal football game on Saturday will find tickets are expensive on the secondary ticket market. It's a monumental game in state football lore, a Super Bowl, if you will, and tickets are just as expensive. On Wednesday morning, the least expensive ticket on SeatGeek was $529 to one of the more expensive single seats at $1,523. There was one ticket in the front row on the 40-yard line on the visitor's side for $3,711. Fans can watch the game on ABC with kickoff at 2 o'clock again Saturday afternoon. A 12-year-old Wyoming boy has made angling history. Wyoming Game and Fish Department reports Tucker Bass of Shoshone officially set a new world record recognized by International Game Fish Association for hooking a largemouth bass. Bass was fishing with his dad on August 9th in Lake Comhewit near Shoshone in west-central Wyoming when the 12-year-old landed a 2-pound, 4-ounce largemouth bass. The fish earned him the junior 4-pound line class world record approved by the IGAFA in November. He's currently the only largemouth bass world record holder from Wyoming. The Billings music scene is sparkling this season. We spoke with one performer who's bringing the joy. A native New Yorker, Alana Hayden, has written, recorded, produced, and licensed numerous songs, jingles, and voiceovers for TV, film, radio, and video. She's recently relocated from the Big Apple to Big Sky Country, and her appearances have brightened up live music outlets across the YPR listening area. Growing up in a musical family, she was encouraged by her father at a young age, appearing publicly in coffee houses at the age of 10. She went on to explore theater musicals, folk music, gospel, and a variety of pop and rock formats. For 25 years, she worked with some of New York's best musicians in the event circuit, which requires fast changes and adaptations. She says those years taught her a lot.
I started doing what we call club dates in New York, which are, they call them casuals out west, I think, and it's like weddings and corporate events, and got to play with some incredibly talented New York players. And that was a great education. That was, I think, one of the best experiences that I ever had. And I did that for about 25 years and played with some of the top players in New York. And it really elevated my game. And it was like studying music, you know, even more so than maybe being in a college environment, because every week we had to learn new tunes and you had to take them apart and dissect them and figure out how to make it work. And we only had a few days to learn the material. And it kept me in shape vocally because I was singing every week. I was with a very busy band. And it was a great experience. I think I learned more doing the wedding circuit about music and performing, and just how to, the etiquette, you know, there were so many things that young players, musicians don't know till you get on the bandstand, you know, and then you screw up and they say, that's not cool. And then you learn the hard way, you know, but that's how you learn. You kind of get thrown in the pool. And I feel very blessed that I was able to work with some great musicians because it really, I learned so much. And I did that for many, many years, you know, like I said, almost 30 years I did that. And while I was doing that, I was doing session work, doing studio work. I was doing jingles and commercials and demos for publishing companies. In fact, I did a demo for a song called Tell It to My Heart that ended up going to Taylor Dane, who had a huge hit with it. And when I listened back, you know, to the old demo, she pretty much did what I did on the record, you know, and she embellished a little bit of, you know, made it her own, and she had a huge hit, and she's a great singer. But it was basically like I did the demo memo and this is what she heard. It was like, well, yeah, that sounds like what I did.
It's
So,
kind of an acknowledgement, though, of what
yeah.
you bring to it, the styling that you brought to it. It was, I'm not
Yeah.
going to try to compete with this. I'm going to put a little on top of this and run
Exactly.
with it.
And so I did a lot of that. And that was an interesting thing doing demo work because I would be hired and they would say, okay, we're going to pitch this song. We have staff writers. They would write the material. Then they'd pitch it to artists who are looking for new material. So sometimes it would be like, oh, this has to sound like Pat Benatar. This has to sound like Streisand. This has to sound like Taylor Dayne or whoever was the artist they were pitching the material to. So I happen to be a very versatile vocalist. It's just my instrument, you know, some people have very unique sounds and like a Stevie Nicks, for instance, you know, she had that raspy, gritty thing, and I had a pretty pure sound, but I was able to turn on the grit or the sing rock or sing pop or sing soul and funk. And being versatile worked in the studio environment. It's not so good if you want to be an artist and be a rock star because they want to pigeonhole you and make you fit into a genre. And I didn't know which genre I wanted to fit into. So I tried to capitalize on the versatility, which gave me a career, basically. And even with the wedding bands, we had to sing like Whitney Houston or, you know, Taylor Swift or whatever it was. So I was able to utilize the flexibility and the versatility and make a career, you know, because of that.
You can hear the full interview with vocalist Alana Hayden on our website, yfpradio.org. That's The Worm for this Thursday. Catch up with us tomorrow morning. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal Art Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at yfpradio.org.